Thank you for listening to this message from Life Christian Center.
This morning, I do want to continue where we have been for about the last 8 weeks or so. And we have been ministering around the theme or the thought, if you will, of being a true Christ follower, what that means, what that requires of us, and what our response should be as we take full responsibility for our part of our relationship with Jesus Christ. How many knows he already did his part? Amen. So now we have to do our part in response, all right? Now we know that being a Christian is really less of a defining term. This thing is bugging me this morning. I apologize if I look fidgety because I am fidgety. Hey, Chase, come here real quick, bud. I can't do this the whole service. Will you tie that thing to that little pluggy thing? Those are all technical terms, just in case you all were wondering this morning. Is it clipped?
Try now.
Okay, thank you. Everybody give Chase a nice round of applause, all right? We know that being a Christian or a Christ follower, again, is less of a defining term, as many times today it is just kind of referred to and sadly ill-represented at many times as well. But we know that today it is a determined lifestyle. How many knows if we're going to follow Christ with all of our heart, that we have to give him all of our heart? That we can't hold back certain portions of that. So what that means is in following him with all of our heart, all of our mind, all of our soul, all of our strength, it means that what we're living is not a portioned out or compartmentalized lifestyle, but it is a determined lifestyle that is holistically given to him. Amen. When Jesus called and invited people to follow him, he used the word disciple, which, as we discovered in Matthew chapter 16 and verse 24, describes someone who is a follower of Christ who learns the doctrines or the teachings and instructions of Scripture and the lifestyle, everybody say lifestyle, they require. Basically, it denotes follow through to the point of life application. I was always told that a lesson taught is not a lesson learned until it is a lesson repeated. A lesson taught is not a lesson learned until it is a lesson repeated or lived out or again put into practice or application. Again, we can call ourselves Christians all day long, and many people do. But if our lives don't look like and reflect the nature and character of Jesus Christ, we are simply missing the mark. If we know the word, but we refuse to apply the word of God and put it into action inside of our lives, again, we are missing the mark of God's kingdom agenda for our lives. Amen. Now, I know that while 2020 has seemingly been a year straight out of like the twilight zone, to say the least, all right, we must first remember this morning that God has not been moved. Amen? God has not been moved. He has not been shaken or surprised by any of the events that we have experienced to this very present moment that we are sitting in right now today. And nor will he be taken off guard by any event or events that will transpire in the near, distant, or even eternal future. And how many can say, thank you, Lord, for that? Amen. You see, he sees the entire picture of all things. Again, he sees eternity past, eternity present, and eternity future, which we can't comprehend all of that. And in our human finite mind, we can only see in part, if you will. But that should not stop us from understanding his kingdom plan and purpose for our present moment and every moment that is to come. How many knows he gave us his word for a reason? He gave us his son for a reason. He gave us his Holy Spirit for a reason. Amen. Through study this week, the Lord led me to what I thought at first was just kind of an obscure passage of scripture, or really just one single verse in Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 5. But that is where I want us to start this morning. In Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 5, It says, he who gathers in summer is a prudent son. Now, not a prude, all right, but a prudent son. Everybody say prudent. All right, just making sure you're still with me. But he who sleeps in harvest is a son who brings shame. Now, I personally, what the Lord kind of drew my attention to was this same scripture passage, but in the Passion Translation. And it says, know the importance of the season you're in, and a wise son you will be. But what a waste when an incompetent son sleeps through his day of opportunity. Know the importance of the season you're in, because an incompetent son is a waste because they sleep through their day of opportunity. Another way of rendering that scripture this morning is to gather in summer is to be a wise son, but to sleep through the harvest is a disgrace. You see, Christ's followers know the importance of the season. Christ's followers know the importance of the season. In the natural, there are seasons for planting and there are seasons for reaping. Here in Kentucky, we are going through that reaping season at the moment. The soybeans are turning, the corn is turning, everything is fixing to be harvested here in the following weeks. You see, but neither can we ignore or delay those seasons, all right, without negatively impacting that which was expected to be produced. How many knows if the farmers don't pay attention to what's going on and they neglect the time or the importance of the season, the crop can go to waste. They can miss out on everything that they've worked so hard for up until that very point. You see, the same can be said for the spiritual seasons of our life today. There are times when we may be found sowing the word of God into somebody's life. At other times, we may be watering the word of God or tending the word of God in someone else's life that is already at work. And at other times, we may be pulling in the harvest of that which God has already brought to fruition. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 6, Paul writes, I planted, Apollos watered, but God all the while was making it grow, and he gave the increase. Are we responsible for the increase? No. And we kind of actually hit on this Wednesday night in our Sunday school. In our Wednesday school, whatever you want to call it, school, all right. And so I was glad. It felt like God was confirming some things, if you will, all right. But we're responsible to go and work. God is responsible for the increase. Amen. So as Christ's followers, we have been directed to go and to preach the message and the mission of Jesus Christ to all people in all places. Right. It's not complicated, it's simple, right? But in that process, we will be called upon as laborers of the kingdom to at times plant, again, to at times water, and at other times reap. But again, what we must remember through this entire process is that it's God's job to bring the increase, and it's our job to know the importance of the season. So how many have ever heard that phrase, stay in your lane, bro? How many knows sometimes we get out of our lane and we try to do God's job, but he said, no, let me do that. You just know the importance of the season. Amen. Knowing the importance of the season reminds us that what we are laboring for today is not temporal by any measure, but it is eternal. Again, sometimes what we see is this much, and we can't fully comprehend the plan of eternity or the purpose of eternity as God has designed and operated it. But you see, today, what we need to understand is not everything will be temporal. We get wrapped up in the temporal, but we have to remember there is something eternal that is a far greater measure and value and importance today. In John chapter 9 and verse 4, Jesus said, we must quickly carry out the tasks assigned us by the one who sent us. The night is coming, and then no one can work. How many knows one day the trumpet will sound and the church will go home? You see, and so there will be a moment where the harvest that was set before us will be left without workers. And so what we have to do is we have to carry out the tasks that have been assigned to us here and now, because there will be a moment where we will no longer be able to work in the harvest fields that God has made available to us. You see, this means that while our job is extremely important, the time to complete it is also limited and short, so we must be about our Father's business. Amen? In Luke 19 and 13, Jesus taught that we are to occupy until he comes, or engage in business, if you will, until he comes. This basically just means that, again, we are to continue to do his business. How many knows it's not our business that we should be worried about? It's his business, okay? And we should be worried about doing his business because he has invested or deposited things into us. We remember the parable about the talents? We remember that two guys were given and they went and invested, but the one dug a hole in the backyard and buried what God had given him. When he came back, was he happy? No, just in case you were wondering. He basically said, dude, you're worthless. How many wanted to hear that from the Lord? Hey, you know, you did a good job and then you became worthless. How many knows what we're looking for is, well done, thou good and faithful servant. You see, this morning we need to be about our Father's business because we have to invest what he has given to us to increase his eternal kingdom here and now on earth in this temporary season for the greater lasting impact of eternity. How many knows that's pretty cool? That what we do now for him inside of his kingdom, according to his kingdom purpose, it is lasting forever. Forever. Can you imagine that when we're faithful and obedient to know the season and we step into those moments and God begins to work and transform not just our lives but the hearts and lives of those around us, that when they accept him, receive him as their Savior, and he begins to recreate them as he recreated us, that what happens is they're brought from death to life, not for a temporary moment but for all of eternity. You see, what we're doing lasts so much longer than just this moment. Knowing the importance of the season should awaken us to the reality of our present opportunity. How many knows every day when we wake up, we have opportunity? We may ignore that opportunity. We may look past that opportunity. We may run from that opportunity. But it doesn't defeat the fact that there is an opportunity ready and existing that God desires for us to move into. You see, Christ followers are people of opportunity. And maybe that sounds a little off at first, but Christ followers are people of opportunity, and that is to say that we buy up, or we partake in, we buy into, we put skin in the game, all right, in those moments that God gives us, and we do so by redeeming the time that God has given us. Ephesians chapter 5, beginning of verse 15 says, so be careful how you live. Don't live like fools, but like those who are wise. Again, remember, we want to be a prudent son. Verse 16, make the most of every opportunity in these evil days. I'm sorry, I didn't realize that when I scratched my beard, you all would hear that. Didn't translate in my brain. How many knows that we can look at today and say, man, I just can't do this? But how many knows that we have opportunities even in the midst of this chaos today? Because how many knows that, again, God is still on the throne. He still has eternal purposes. He still has a kingdom agenda for us to be a part of and to accomplish today. Amen? So we must make the most of every opportunity in these days. When God opens a door, we need to walk through it. A lot of times we're like, you know, you didn't lay out a welcome mat, Lord. So I'm really not sure if I'm supposed to go through this door, cross that threshold. I understand that it looks pretty inviting, and I understand that the Holy Spirit is kind of tugging / pushing / pulling, but I'm just not sure. How many knows when God opens an door of opportunity, we need to walk through that door of opportunity, amen? And we don't need to just walk through it, but we need to walk through it and invest in that moment. We need to partake in that moment so that we can experience the fullness of that moment, because there is a time to wait, but there is also a time to act. How many know waiting is okay, but once he has spoken and given direction, then we need to act? Amen. So let us linger only long enough to listen for instruction. How many know sometimes we get what God is saying, but then we still linger? Well, Lord, I'm not sure. If I wake up tomorrow morning and there is no dew on the ground, Lord, I will know. We wake up and there's no dew on the ground. We say, well, Lord, if my truck doesn't start, I'll know it's not. Come on. We got to know the importance of the season, and we got to understand that we can miss an opportunity that he gives. And what we need to understand is that a missed opportunity might not translate to something temporal. A missed opportunity might translate to something eternal. That bears and holds a lot much more weight, amen? Now, again, you would say, oh, that's condemnation. You can't put that on me. There's no condemnation in Christ Jesus. Whew. How many knows he has called us to the harvest field, not to be spectators, but to be workers? And we cannot afford, as the body of Christ, to miss an opportunity that he presents this morning. Amen? In John chapter 4, Jesus tells his disciples that he must go through Samaria. And again, very familiar passage of scripture, story for most of us today. I want to try to just do a quick recap as I get to where I'm trying to go with you this morning. We know that this was not a common practice for Jews to make it a point to go through Samaria. In fact, they would, again, painstakingly walk around Samaria just so that they did not have to walk through there. But Jesus, again, knew the importance of the season. As they arrive at the well, Jesus sends his disciples into town to find some food. And before long, as he's waiting, as we know, a woman appears alone to draw water from the well. And again, understanding the season, Jesus engages with this woman, again, breaking cultural boundaries and barriers. He begins to pour into her revelation truth wrapped in transformational love. And how many are so glad that he did the same thing for us today, amen? As he does that, she begins to see or understand things about God in a whole new way. And basically what happens is she becomes recreated in that moment from the inside out by what Christ was depositing into her life. And she begins to go back into town with a new mission and a new message and a new hope and a new life. Again, how many knows that Christ followers should have a new mission, a new message, a new hope, and a new life? You see, she went back knowing the importance of the season that she was in. I want to take you to John chapter 4 and verse 28, and we're going to kind of catch up to this here. It says, all at once the woman dropped her water jar and ran off to her village and told everyone, come and meet a man at the well who told me everything I've ever done. He could be the anointed one that we've been waiting for. Hearing this, the people came streaming out of the village to see Jesus. Then the disciples began to insist that Jesus eat some of the food that they brought back from the village, saying, teacher, you must eat something. But Jesus told them, don't worry about me. I have eaten a meal you don't know about. Puzzled by this, the disciples began to discuss among themselves. Did someone already bring him food? Where did he get this meal from? I'm sure that was also, well, why did we make the trip into town if he wasn't really hungry? We didn't want to go into that Samaritan village. You know how we feel about Samaria, Lord. Verse 34, then Jesus spoke up and said, my food is to be doing the will of him who sent me and to bring it to completion. As the crowds emerged from the village, Jesus said to his disciples, why would you say the harvest is another 4 months away? Look at all the people coming. Now is harvest time, for their hearts are like the vast fields of ripened grain, ready for spiritual harvest. He says, you got to look at this in the eyes that I see this through. You got to begin seeing this through God's Spirit, because it's not a matter of it being a ways off. It's right now, in this very moment, the fields are ripe for harvest. How many knows today, church, we cannot afford to miss an opportunity or to misunderstand the season because we're baffled by who God is choosing to minister to. The disciples came back from the village, and if you'll go back and read, they were like, what is he doing? Did he forget where we were? Did he forget who she was? Like, how many knows it's not up to us who God chooses to minister to? How many knows he has called all of his children home? Amen? He would that all come to repentance, that none would perish. You see, but we stand so many times, I think, baffled by who God is choosing to minister or how he's choosing to move. Who are we to say how God moves?
Well, if he doesn't move like this, and if he doesn't take them down the Romans road in the King James Version, I'm not sure there will actually be salvation or conversion.
Come on. Who are we to say how God moves and who he moves on? Amen. Isaiah 43 and 19 says, I'm doing something brand new, something unheard of. Even now it sprouts and grows and matures. Don't you perceive it? I will make a way in the wilderness and open up flowing streams in the desert. I mean, who knows if he can do that, he can do anything for anybody at any place and any time. And who are we to judge what that is? Amen. His ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. And his ways are perfect. His thoughts are perfect, and they are full of eternal purpose. So how about instead of worrying about who and how about we just start trusting that he knows best as we strive to know the importance of the season that we are in? There had to be, again, some form of disconnect with the disciples for Jesus to stress the fact that now is harvest time. If we look back, he says, as the crowds emerge from the village, Jesus said to his disciples, why would you say the harvest is another 4 months away? Look at all the people coming. Now is harvest time, for their hearts are like vast fields of ripened grain, ready for spiritual harvest. I think for us today, Christ would say the exact same thing. He would say, just as these soybeans and these cornfields are ripe and ready for harvest, there are hearts and souls and families all around us today that are ripe and ready for harvest. Amen? Again, we cannot chance missing our opportunity to plant, to water, or to reap because we are unaware of the state of the harvest readiness or because of the belief that it will eventually come, but it's not here yet. I think sometimes the church is waiting on something that is already here. Let me say that again. I think we're waiting on something that's already here. You see, now is harvest time. Right now, in this very moment, in 2020, in all of the chaos, hearts are ripe for the gospel message. Right now, in this moment, there are families and friends all around us who are ready for a spiritual harvest. They're ready to receive something that is different, something that is life-altering, something that is transformational, and that moment is ready right now to be reaped. But what are we going to do about it as the church? You see, the challenge today, I think, is the same as when Jesus himself was teaching this over 2,000 years ago. In Matthew chapter 9, verse 36, 37, and 38, it says, when Jesus saw the vast crowds of people, his heart was deeply moved with compassion because they seemed weary and helpless, like wandering sheep without a shepherd. He turned to his disciples and said, the harvest is huge and ripe, but there are not enough harvesters to go and bring it all in. So as you go, plead with the owner of the harvest to thrust out many more reapers to harvest his grain. He turned to his disciples and gave them instruction. I believe that God is still today trying to turn to his church and say, this is still my instruction. He's trying to tell us, people, that the harvest is still huge, it is still ripe, but there just aren't enough people willing to work the fields. Today, the body of Christ has many people who want to call themselves workers. We want to walk around and say, yeah, I'm a Christian, I'm a worker. But you see, they don't actually want to work. They've chosen the title of Christian without the towel of serving others as a genuine Christ follower. What are we holding in our hand today? Are we holding the title of Christian or the towel of service? Because that will reveal whether or not you are truly a Christ follower or not. Because Christ never came for a title, but he did come with a towel and he did serve. And he said, if you want to be great in my kingdom, this is how you do it. You serve others. You bend down and you wash feet. You minister to the least of these among us. You see, again, it's not a matter of a defining term. It's all about a determined lifestyle that is willing to be that Christ follower who is empowered by the Holy Spirit to accomplish God's kingdom agenda. The harvest is huge. The harvest is ripe. But there aren't enough harvesters to bring it all in. As a result, Jesus tells us again to plead with the owner or the Lord of the harvest to thrust out many more reapers to harvest his grain. While we strive to know the importance of the season and work, every opportunity that we are given, we must also pray that those who have encountered Christ and are living inside of the kingdom are filled and transformed by the message and the mission of the kingdom to the point where they're stirred and challenged to go out, to invest, to engage in that ready harvest. How many knows we have not been saved to sit down? Amen. Saved people serve people. Saved people seek to save lost people. And again, please don't misunderstand me. We are not saved by our works. We are saved by faith in Jesus Christ. Amen? But how many knows that we do have a job to do? There is something that we are supposed to be occupying, and it's not our rear end. We're not supposed to be sitting down and just watching things go by, missing our day of opportunity, allowing the harvest that is around us to spoil. We're to be engaged in what God has called us to do. Essentially, what we find in Scripture is this is kind of an all-hands-on-deck call and commission. And today, we need to wake up, church, and hear that same call and hear that same commission today. There are souls who are ready to receive the truth of the gospel. They are ready to experience salvation. They're ready to experience freedom. They're ready to experience healing and deliverance and transformation. But are we willing to go and labor so that they can experience those things, not just for this moment, but for all of eternity? You see, Jesus didn't say, pray that more people would go to church. We think that if attendance increases in this building, that must mean we're doing our job right. Can I tell you that is a poor standard? Because how many knows we could fill this house and what we could have is a whole sanctuary filled of whitewashed tombs. We could look good on the outside but be dead on the inside. How many knows that's not the objective? The objective is transformation. It's souls won for the name and to the name of Jesus Christ this morning. Amen? It's not just filling this. Now, would I love for this house to be full? Absolutely. Should there be an increase when transformation is on the table? Absolutely. But you see, I think we've kind of lived under some false narratives before. I don't remember when I said it. It may have been the beginning of this year, last year. I said from this pulpit that there will be people in this church who are saved, who are radically transformed by Jesus Christ, but they will not stay here. They will go to other places. And can I tell you that that is still going to happen, and I'm still okay with it? Because this isn't about us. This is about him. This is about his kingdom and not our church. Amen? Because we're just a part of the body of Christ. And whether that means we're the big toe, the armpit, or something else, let's just be what we are and let's function as he has called us to function and be willing to go where he sends us, amen? You see, he asked not for people to go to church or to fill a church. He asked for people who would be the church. He said, man, I just need you to leave where you are and go out into a darkened world and shine your light. I just need you to walk outside and preach the message and the mission of Jesus Christ. I just need you to take every opportunity that I afford you and live it to the max. Just do everything that you can to win the lost for Jesus Christ. He's looking for some Christ followers who will be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Workers who know that because of Jesus Christ, what we're doing, how we're laboring, it's not in vain. Workers who are willing to seek his kingdom and his righteousness first. Workers who are willing to become all things to all men so that some might be saved. But are we willing to be those workers? Will we work or will we whine? Will we work or will we watch from the sidelines? Will we work or will we wait for that moment or opportunity or time that we believe will be more advantageous? Well, God, I think if just these other things happen, it'll be a better timing. I think it'll fit better if we'll just wait for this and this and this and this and this. How many of us, if we're waiting for this and this and this, we're going to be waiting forever and ever and ever and ever? You see, Christ followers know the importance of the season. Amen? If you would stand with me this morning. The world that we live in today is still weary and it is still helpless. It is still wandering like lost sheep without a shepherd. And it is our job as those who know the shepherd, who hear his voice, to begin to go out and help with that process of lost sheep. Are we really filled with compassion like Christ was over the abundance of lost souls? Do we really have that pull and that tug when we know for a fact that people are in need of salvation? When we know that they're in need of something that we can help provide, is there really that compassion that begins to boil up inside of us that is enough to basically drive us to that point of putting our hand to the plow and never looking back? The Bible tells us that those who look back aren't fit for the plow. This morning, again, not trying to bring any form of judgment or condemnation, but where are we in relationship to the harvest field and opportunities that God has placed us in? Christ followers know the importance of the season. They are willing to work. They continually pray for more workers. They never stop planting. They never stop watering. They never stop reaping because they refuse to be an incompetent son or daughter who disgraces the harvest by sleeping through their day of opportunity. How many knows even when we go through a mess, a wreck, tragedy, we can still be a competent son or daughter working the field of harvest that Christ has put us in? Know the importance of the season and watch God bring the increase. Let's be Christ followers who just, we're going to know the importance of the season. We're going to put our hand to the plow, and then we're going to watch God do the supernatural. We're going to watch God do the miraculous. We're going to watch him bring salvation and transformation. We're going to watch him do what only he can do and bring that increase for his kingdom. Amen. Father, I thank you this morning. God, I thank you for your word. Lord, how it challenges us, but God, also how it directs us. God, how it shows us what you expect of those who live under the banner and the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. So God, I just pray that we would never abuse, God, that connection to Christ, but that we would be found as true, genuine, heartfelt Christ followers, Lord, who are willing to understand and know the importance of the season, God willing to do whatever it takes. God, whether in a moment that means that we're planting that seed. God, if it means that we're coming alongside and we're supporting, we're watering, we're teaching, we're discipling. Or God, whether it means that we're reaping in that harvest of ready fruit. God, wherever we fall in that spectrum throughout our day, God, let us just not miss our opportunity that you have given us. But God, let us bring it to completion. God, let us not squander that which you have given us. But God, let us boldly step forward in faith, ready to put our lives into action. God, ready to put, again, our hands to that proverbial plow. And God, never look back. Father, challenge us today. Convict us today. God, bring us to a place where we understand that what we are facing is not something temporal, but God, it is eternal. And souls hang in the balance today. And God, some of those souls are very close to us. Some of those souls today, Lord, are our family members. Some of them are friends. Some of them are members of this community. God, help us to begin to see the value, the eternal value of those hearts. The eternal value of those souls, of those who are broken and lost. God, those who are weary and helpless this morning. God, move in our hearts, I pray today. In Christ's name. This morning, if you don't know Jesus Christ, we want to invite you to come. We want to pray just a simple salvation prayer with you, so that you can begin to experience Christ in a whole new way. This morning, if maybe you've known Christ, you've surrendered your life to him at one point, but maybe you just haven't been living that Christ follower life close to him, and you just want to rededicate your life to him this morning, come forward. Let's pray. Let's rejoice together as you do that this morning. Today, maybe, church, we just need to take a moment and we need to evaluate our position in regard to the harvest and opportunities that God has given us. Are we more hesitant than we are helpful? Where are we in that process today? Because the reality is, we can kind of say, well, I've got us four, and we're good, and we've all got our ticket to heaven. My family's safe, my family's secure. But how many knows it's more than just about us and our families? It's more than just about us this morning here as the Body of Life Christian Center. Again, God says, man, I would that all would come to repentance, that none would perish. That should be our heart. That should be the motivation of our compassion and our love for others today. And if it's not there, we need to change that this morning. We need to submit that to Christ and say, Lord, I'm willing in this moment to grab hold of the plow and to never look back so that I become a competent son, a competent daughter, Lord, who never misses their day of opportunity. If that's you this morning, I want you to find a place to pray and just allow God to begin to stir up the gifts that he has placed within you. Ask him to open your heart and your mind so that you can clearly see those things. And then act in faith, act in obedience when he reveals those opportunities to you. If you need prayer of agreement for any other thing that you may be facing today, we want you to come forward and pray with us. We'll believe together that God is going to move on your behalf today. If that's you for anything I've mentioned or anything else, come this morning. Begin to let Christ do that transformational work in your life today.
Thank you again for listening to this message. For more information on our church and the ministries that we offer, please visit us on the web at lccmadisonville.com or at any of our social media accounts at lccmadisonville.